Our text of scripture tonight that we want to look at is the final verse there of Romans chapter 4. Paul here speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You will notice there that verse 25, it ends with those two words in particular, our justification. And by the word justification really means to set right in the gospel context. It speaks of a sinner being declared righteous before the holy God of heaven. It speaks of the sinner knowing pardon for their sins. It speaks of the sinner knowing peace with God and having an acceptance with the God of heaven, God their maker. And this justification is a blessing that God bestows upon all whom he saves. And those who are saved are those who have repented of their sins, those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Thus they receive this blessing of justification that Paul speaks of and mentions in our text here tonight. Yes, it speaks of this blessing of justification for all who are saved, all who have repented of their sin, all who are trusting in Christ as Savior. Now, whenever we think of Abraham, Abraham was an Old Testament Christian, and he was one who experienced this wonderful blessing, and Paul sets that before us here in the chapter. Look at verses 3, 4, and 5 of the chapter, speaking of Abraham. He says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Yes, Abraham, he did not rest upon his own works or upon his own self-righteousness for salvation. Rather, his faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Consequently, Abraham was justified. He was declared just, or if you like, righteous in the sight of God. Over in the New Testament, during his public ministry, in the Gospel of John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ there, he spoke of Abraham to the Jews, and he said these words to them. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And there he was highlighting the fact that Abraham looked forward in faith to Jesus Christ coming and dying for his sins upon the cross of Calvary. And that's how it was with Abraham. He looked forward in faith, even though it was many thousands of years after Abraham lived upon this world. He looked forward in faith to Christ coming to the world and dying for his sins upon the cross. And that is how Abraham was justified. Yes, Abraham looked forward in faith to Christ coming. And tonight we look back in faith to that time when Christ came into this world over 2,000 years ago. And he died upon the cross of Calvary. And he did so to provide a way for us to be saved from our sins and reconciled to God. Am I speaking of this very fact? The fact that Christ died, the Bible says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And here tonight in particular in verses 24 and verses 25 of Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, he gives you and I a wonderful description of this justifying faith and what it means to be justified. You'll notice there that the end of our text, verse 25, it speaks of the words, our justification. Notice that little word, our justification. And that really shows you and I that this is a blessing that is possible for all of us to receive and all of us to experience this side of God's eternity. What a blessing to be justified in the sight of God. And as we would think then upon these words, our justification, there are a number of thoughts I just want to leave with you tonight. Notice first of all here with me the provision for our justification. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says there in verse number 25, who was delivered, notice it, for our offenses. And that really speaks to you and I there of how the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified upon the cross for our sins. And by that sacrifice alone, by his death, by the shedding of his precious blood, he made a way, he provided a way for sinners like you and like I to be justified in the sight of God, our Maker, our Creator. You turn the page in your Bible over there to the next chapter, Romans chapter number 5. And notice what you read in verse number 6. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Christ came and he died for the ungodly. It says in our text, he was delivered for our offenses. And on the cross, he provided an atonement. He provided a covering for our sins. And that atoning death and sacrifice, it quenched God's wrath that all God's people deserve for their sins. And this the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do because he himself was sinless. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says, who did no sin. And by his sinless life, he fully kept God's law. Thus he was able to fully pay to the Lord, God of heaven, the debt of sin for all of his people. What a price he paid. The hymn writer says there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Christ paid the debt of our sins upon the cross. It has been said that whenever Jesus bowed his head and died in our place, the veil was rent and a way was found to that pure home of grace, and he opened up a way back to God for sinners like you and I, for the ungodly, a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Yes, on the cross, Christ, he cried out, it is finished. And when he died upon the cross, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. God performed that mighty miracle that day when Christ died on the cross, signifying that Christ had made a way back to God for sinful man. The veil of the temple was rent in twain by God from the top to the bottom. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, without shedding of blood is no remission. And friend, tonight realize this, that Christ willingly went to the cross. He willingly died upon the cross. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep, and by the shedding of his precious blood, he devised a way for hell-deserving sinners like you and I to be justified, to know pardon for our sins, to know peace with God. It says in our text tonight that he was delivered for our offenses. Yes, this was the provision for our justification. Christ was delivered for our offenses. Not only do we see here the provision for our justification, notice secondly this evening, notice the proof that Christ's sacrifice was sufficient for our justification. What is the proof of the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice for our justification? Well, look again at what you read of the Lord Jesus Christ and the latter part there of verse number 25 of Romans chapter 4. It says of Christ, and he was raised again for our justification. My Christ's rising again, his resurrection from the dead on the third day, it is the absolute proof. It is the absolute guarantee. It's the absolute certainty that God accepted Christ's sacrifice as being altogether sufficient to provide a way of justification for you and for me from our sins. The fact that he rose again shows that God accepted the sacrifice of Christ. It's the guarantee. It's the absolute assurance that what Christ done on the cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," that is absolutely sufficient for your justification and for my justification. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great chapter all about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in this chapter, Paul tells us that if Christ did not rise, he said, then sinful man has no hope of being justified. But praise God, Christ did rise. Therefore, you and I can know the great hope and the certainty of being justified in God's sight. And this is something that Paul hammers home here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at what he says in verse number 4, stating the fact of Christ's resurrection. He says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Then go down to verse 17 of the chapter. He says, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." And then look at verse number 20. "But now," stating the fact that he declared in verse 4, "but now," he says, "is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man, that is Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." There he states this great truth, this great fact, that Christ has risen, that Christ is alive. And it's the proof, it's the evidence, it's the guarantee that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross as being altogether sufficient for our justification. He rose from the dead the third day, and then he ascended up into heaven, and in ascending up into heaven, he presents before God the Father the merits of his own blood, the merits of his own perfect righteousness as the payment, the sufficient payment for our justification. We were singing that great hymn there of Charles Wesley's earlier on at the beginning of our meeting, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, thy beauty are my glorious dress." Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ has ascended on high, and he presents the merit of his own blood, his perfect righteousness, as the payment for our justification. In Hebrews 9 verse 12 it says of Christ, "By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Oh, this is what Christ has done, so that you and I can be justified in the sight of God from our sins. He has died on the cross. He has risen again. And as our great high priest, he has ascended up unto heaven. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us at the right hand of God. And he presents before God the Father the merit of his blood, his own perfect righteousness. My, this is what he has done for our justification. And dear friend, tonight, can I say this, that whenever you are justified before God by the blood and by the righteousness of Christ, what blessings you have in and through Christ. You have the pardon, the forgiveness of all of your sins. Turn back there to Romans chapter number 3. Look at what Paul says there in verses 24 and verses 25 of the chapter. He says, "Being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation," notice it, "through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." Well, that's what you have in Christ when you're justified. You have the remission, the pardon, the forgiveness of all of your sins. You also have peace with God when you're justified. Look at the opening verse of the next chapter following on from our text. Paul says, "Therefore," in other words, in light of all that what Christ has done on the cross and his death and his rising again, he says, "Therefore," he says, being justified by faith, he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, no longer at enmity with God, but at one with God through Christ. And then also being justified, you have the blessing of God's grace. You have access to God's grace and to every spiritual blessing that you need to live the Christian life. Look at verse 2 there of Romans chapter 5, again following on from what Christ has done on the cross. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. By through being justified you have grace. Grace is given to stand for God and to live for God. Turn over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Look there at verse number 32 of that chapter. And it's all linked into what Christ has done. It says in Romans 8 verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Because Christ has died and risen again and ascended on high, all that you need to live the Christian life here in this world, in the scene of time, is offered to you, promised to you, bequeathed through you, through the Lord Jesus Christ, as God's will and testament to all whom he justifies. Then there's also deliverance from a lost eternity in hell, being made sure of eternal life and a home in God's heaven. Look at Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 9. Look at what it says. It says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, think of that, saved from the wrath to come. Saved from a lost eternity. Saved from that place of eternal weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. How? Through the blood. Through the blood of Christ. Through him who has died upon the cross for guilty sinners. Through him who has risen again. Through him who has ascended on high in heaven's glory, who presents the merit of his blood and righteousness before Almighty God as a sufficient work to justify the sinner. And praise God, by the death and by the resurrection of Christ, we can know victory. Victory over death, victory over sin, victory over the grave, victory over hell. Turn again to that great chapter of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And go down to the latter part of that chapter. Notice what Paul says. He's seeking to comfort the child of God, those who are justified, reminding them of the great victory that they have in Christ, because Christ has died and risen and has ascended on high. And he says in verse number 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, speaking about the coming of the Lord and the great resurrection. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible should have put on incorruption, this mortal should have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But note these words, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Son of God, through him who suffered and bled and died, there is victory for the Christian, victory for those who are saved, who are justified, not just in time, but victory in death, and victory for all of the countless years of eternity to come. John Owen was a great preacher and Bible teacher of Puritan times. And one of the books, one of the classics that he's written, is this title. It says, The Death of Death. It's the death of death, the destroying of death's power through Christ. through what Christ has done upon the cross, highlighting the great victory there is for all who know Christ, who trust Christ. My, what a Savior we have tonight. What a Savior we have to proclaim. What a Savior we have to preach. Yes, we see here the provision for our justification. It is the fact that Christ was delivered for our offenses. We have the proof, the guarantee that Christ's sacrifice is sufficient because he rose again the third day. How vital the resurrection is to the Christian, to the church, to the testament of the church. But notice thirdly here from our text, notice the fountainhead of our justification. And my Paul brings us in verse 24 and verse number 25, speaking of God the Father. Look at what he says in verse number 24. He says, him, he says, that raised up Jesus our Lord. Speaking of God the Father, he says, him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Yes, it was God the Father who raised up Christ. Notice also what again he says further about God the Father in verse number 25. He says, who, that was God the Father, was delivered, speaking of Christ, he says, was delivered for our offenses. Notice that word, delivered. It was God the Father who delivered Christ up for our crucifixion and to die upon the cross. It was God the Father that sent his Son into this world and gave his Son up to die upon the cross. And that shows you and I that God the Father is the fountainhead. He's the source of our justification. All that concerns the sinner being justified through Christ has been planned by God. Planned by God in eternity past. Turn back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 23 and verse number 24. Here Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, highlighting this very fact that although wicked men had crucified Christ, that God had planned it, God had allowed it all to happen for the salvation, the justifying of sinners. He says in verse 23 of Acts chapter 2, speaking of Christ, he says, him being delivered, he says, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden off it. There Peter tells us how God the Father gave Christ up to die upon the cross, to be delivered for our offenses, and how God the Father raised up Christ again from the dead on the third day. And it shows us that God the Father is the fountainhead of our justification. The Father, as the hymn writer says, planned it all. It was all planned by God the Father and the counsel of eternity. In light of this, we might well ask the question, why? Why did God send his Son into this world and allow him to die upon the cross for sinful man who had offended God, who has grieved God a thousand times over with his sin? Why? Why did God plan this? Why did God allow this to happen? And friend, there's only one answer. In four simple words, the love of God. The love of God. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's the only answer to this question. Why? Why did Christ come? Why did he die upon the cross? Why was he given up to death? Why did God the Father plan it all? Because of love. Love for sinners like you and like me. Turn your Bible over to the next page from our text, Romans chapter 5. And look at the verse number 8. And there you have it, very clearly stated for us. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you wonder tonight, does God love me? What's the proof of God's love to me? Friend, look at the cross. Look at Christ coming into this world, being given up by God the Father to suffer, to bleed and die. He who was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He who was crucified. He who allowed himself to be pierced in his hands and his feet and in his side and in his brow. And you see but one thing in the crucifixion of Christ. The love of God. God is love. Yes, in this life you and I have many tokens of God's love and God's kindness. Our homes, our family, our food, our health, our strength, our freedom, our liberty, employment. All these things are tokens of God's love and God's kindness to us. But the greatest demonstration of God's love for the sinful, fallen world is the death and the rising again of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And dear people, tonight there's nothing that can compare, nothing that can compare with the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Really, words of man cannot describe that love. But thinking upon that love and the effect of that love upon his own heart and soul, Isaac Watts, the preacher and the hymn writer, was forced to write these words. He says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, tonight see the love of God and Christ. And Christ coming, dying on the cross for sinners, paying the penalty of our sin and rising again victorious and ascending up into heaven. It is the love of God. God is love. But notice one final thought tonight in connection with our text. Notice the experiencing of this great blessing of justification. How do we experience this blessing? How do we receive this blessing? Well, Paul gives us the answer to those questions in our text. Look again at Romans chapter 4. And look at what he says there in the middle of verse 24. Romans 4 verse 24. He says, note the words, if we believe on him. Notice those words, if we believe. And that speaks of faith. And as it says there in the two verses, this faith is all in connection, is all joined to the death and the resurrection, the rising of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered from our offenses and was raised again for our justification. If we believe on him. If you believe on him. Dear friend, if you come before God as a repentant sinner, confessing your need as a lost sinner deserving only of hell, and if you truly believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins upon the cross, and if you truly believe that God raised up Christ because a sacrifice was sufficient to atone for your sins, then you shall be justified. Then you shall be saved in the sight of God. It is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That's how Abraham was saved and justified. Look again at verse 3 there of Romans chapter 4. It says, what saith the scriptures? Notice it. Abraham believed God. He believed the gospel message. And it was counted for him for righteousness. He was justified in the sight of God because his faith was in Christ. That's how it is with all those Old Testament saints that you read about in Hebrews chapter 11, every single one of them. Their faith, their trust was in Christ alone for salvation. That's how it was with the Philippian jailer in the New Testament, who was concerned about his soul and a right relationship with God. And they said to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And it says, and he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He put his faith, he put his trust and the Lord Jesus Christ, and so did many also in his own household, do the same. Dear friend, tonight it is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone that you too can be justified, saved, and receive this great blessing. Look at what Paul says in the previous chapter, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, 21, and 22. He says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." In other words, we cannot be justified by our works, no matter how good those works might be. Then he goes on in verse 21 and says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference." Notice there the mercy of God and the grace of God. It says there is no difference. In other words, all, whoever they are, whatever their background is, whatever their sin has been all who come to God through Christ, who confess their sins to Christ and trust in Christ, believing that Christ died for them upon the cross and that he rose again the third day and his sacrifice is sufficient to save them from their sins. They shall be saved and justified in the sight of God. Turn over to Romans chapter number 10. Look at what you read there in verses 12 and 13 of the chapter. It says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's certain. It's sure. It's fact. How can you and I be justified? How can we know our sins forgiven, be right with God, accepted with God, sure of heaven? By believing on Christ. Putting your faith, your trust in Christ. The hymn writer says, "I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me and that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free." Tell me tonight, are you longing to be delivered from the awful burden of your sin? Are you longing to be right with God and sure of heaven? Then come tonight to Christ just as you are. Put your faith and trust in him. Confess your sins to him. Thank him for dying for you upon the cross and rising again. And by faith alone, ask him, trust him, call upon him. You'll not be disappointed. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."